In the prophetic themes of the Word of God. Appreciate you coming to the Prophecy Convention. Hadn't the preaching been great so far? Yes, it really has. And I tell you what, it has been good to be here. I appreciate, let me say at the onset here, I appreciate Brother Finley and his burden to have a meeting like this and emphasize these truths about the end time. You know, I really think that there is a special anointing on this message right now because the time is at hand. It really is. And so I want to look here. If you'll go ahead and turn in your Bible to the book of Revelation and the 20th chapter. There's about 10 verses here in this chapter that we're going to look at that discuss this blessed time of the kingdom of God on earth, or we call it the millennium. Some of the people downstairs were asking me, said, you know, if you can preach on the rapture, a 45-minute sermon, how in the world are you going to take 1,000 years and cram that into 45-minute session? Joe Parker gave me the answer. He said it's time management. And so we'll do what we can. I told him, I said, well, one thing about it that is for sure, I definitely have a lot of material to work with. So there's no problem there. And again, I appreciate the opportunity. Brother Finley asked me, it's been a couple of months ago, to take a time and discuss something along the lines of prophecy. And so this was the theme that I thought would benefit us here to discuss. Let's look here in Revelation chapter 20, and we'll read some verses, and let's ask the Lord's blessing as we look to His Word. Father, thank You for everyone that is here today, and we pray Your blessing on the Word of God, and I ask for Your help and gifts of the Holy Ghost to communicate its truths. Strengthen us, Lord, with knowledge from Your Word, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. 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 Let's look here, Revelation chapter 20, and begin in verse number 1. John said, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones and they sat upon them and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Here's the onset of this blessed time here that we call the millennium. First thing we see is Satan is bound. There is a resurrection here. And look at the next verse, it shows us that. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now, what that means, this is the first resurrection. This is the culmination of that series of events that is titled the first resurrection. We know who the first one to raise to immortality was. That was Jesus Christ. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that every man's going to be raised in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. And of course, the coming of Christ is a twofold event. There's a time when he's coming in the air, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together, changed, and we're going to meet them in the air. But this is talking about a time 7 years later, when he will actually come and his foot will touch the Mount of Olives, as Zechariah the prophet says, calls it to cleave in two different directions. Satan will be bound. Amen. Satan's not going to be bound when Jesus takes the church out of here. Satan's not going to be bound then. But when he comes to set this kingdom up, Satan's going to be bound for 1,000 years. And then the rest of those folks will be raised from the dead. Those who gave their life during the tribulation period, they were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. They did not receive the mark of the beast. There's going to be, we know, 144,000 Jews that are sealed. And they're going to be testifying. And so there's going to be some folks that will not submit to the Antichrist reign. And they're going to die because of a faith in Christ. They're going to be raised at the end of that tribulation period when Christ comes back. And they're going to reign with him for 1,000 years. Let's read on here. He says, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. That's what Paul talked about as the resurrection of the just and the unjust. Jesus talked about that too. Two different resurrections here, all right? The first one is in a campaign of at least three different times. The second one is at the end of the millennium when the wicked will be raised. There will be a great white throne judgment. Everybody's going to be judged. Everybody's going to be raised. Amen. And so that's when the final difference will be made between the righteous and the wicked, and we'll go into a new heaven and new earth. But in between that, there is this period here where the kingdom of God is on earth. All right, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. You notice how many times that phrase pops up here? 6 different times this 1,000-year period is referred to in these 10 verses. And we're often told about folks reigning. Look at verse 7. When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, and to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Now this incidentally is not the same battle with Gog and Magog that Ezekiel talks about. There are a number, there's several different nations that are named there. There's a particular number of nations. And we read, the effects of that battle. There's going to be a period of time where they have to bury the dead and clean up the paraphernalia left over from that battle. That's a different time. Here, after this 1,000 years, Satan finds some folks who go along with his plan in these same regions of the world. Isn't that an interesting thing here? God has blessed the nation of Israel, and there's a lot of blessing concentrated in that land. But here, this region of Gog and Magog, we see a lot of rebellion concentrated in that area of the country, all right? Or that area of the world. They're going to come up, and the number of them is as the sand of the sea. It's a great multitude. And when they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about the beloved city, and here's the difference here. Amen. Fire comes down out of God from heaven and devours them. All right? And so they're just instantly destroyed here. God takes care of that. Then verse number 10, we find that here is the demise of the devil. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and false prophet are. They've already been cast there at the beginning of the millennium. When Jesus comes back to start the millennium, they're cast alive into that lake of fire. But now here, after the 1,000 years is over, the devil is cast into the lake of fire, and he'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. Oh, that's going to be a wonderful time when the devil is finally done away with. Amen. First thing I want to talk to you about here this afternoon, is this term millennium. Now you'll notice on your handout we put the millennial kingdom. And of course, you know, the most often the term millennium is used to talk about this blessed dispensation that's going to come about here. And Clarence Larkin defines millennium. He says it comes from two Latin words, milli meaning 1,000 and annum meaning a year. And incidentally, the word millennium is never found in the Bible. But the concept you see is very clear here from Revelations chapter 20 that there is going to be a 1,000-year period. Now, there's a lot of folks that say that they kind of spiritualize that. And they say, well, that's just a reference here to something, and they want to spiritualize. Let me tell you something. The Bible goes to great pains here to name 1,000 years over and over again. We are talking about a literal 1,000 years. And you look at the context here, it's clear. I mean, in the beginning of this chapter, it's a literal angel that comes down. It's a literal devil that is bound. It is a literal pit that he is thrown into. These are literal nations that are talked about here. It is a literal resurrection that is being spoken of here. And so the context here is you know, not types and shadows. The context is literal things. And so we've got a literal 1,000-year reign. Some of you are familiar with the prophecy of Daniel there. And in the magazine here, Brother Finley did a great article about the law of comparisons, comparing Daniel chapter 2 and chapter 7. And if you've got a copy of that magazine, you'll notice that there's a picture of the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had, which was that image. Of course, Daniel saw it later as beast. What a heathen king saw as precious metals. A prophet, a man of God, saw his wild beast. But these both represent nations, okay? Well, the nation of God, the head of gold, we know, represents the kingdom of Babylon. Daniel interprets the dream. He not only gets the dream, he interprets it to Nebuchadnezzar. He says, "Thou art this head of gold." Nebuchadnezzar wanted to extend his kingdom, so he erected a whole statue made of gold, and he was in essence saying, "My kingdom's not going to come to an end," but it did. And the Medes and Persians rose up, that chest and arms of silver there. And then, of course, the belly and thighs of brass was the Grecian kingdom, the legs of iron, which being the Roman Empire. And now we're in the stage where we're waiting to see this development of the next part of this image, which will be the feet and toes of clay and iron. That's the next development of this image. But where this kingdom comes in is Daniel saw something magnificent after he saw this time of Gentile rule. This is a picture of the times of the Gentiles. And what we're talking about when we talk about the times of the Gentiles, we're talking about the times of Gentile rule. Jerusalem shall be trodden underfoot until the times of the Gentiles are going to come to an end. But he saw a magnificent end to that vision, and that was a stone that was hewn out of the mountain without hands. It came rolling down and it smote that image, knocked it down, ground it into powder. And then something wonderful happened. The Bible tells us that stone grew into an exceeding great mountain. This was a living stone. Stones don't grow. You can water them and you know, let sunshine on them all day long. They don't grow. But this stone grew into an exceeding great mountain. And so what this was a kingdom, Daniel said, that filled all the earth. And that is this kingdom rule of Jesus Christ. Amen. I read something, read a number of things when I was studying about this concept of the millennium here. And I've already quoted Clarence Larkin, but I'll quote him again. He made a real good statement here. He said, "It is to be regretted that the word millennium ever supplanted the biblical word kingdom." So what we're talking about here, and you got to get that in your mind. Kingdom is what we're talking about here from a biblical perspective here. Now, we use the term millennium because it means 1,000 years, okay? But it's the 1,000-year literal kingdom rule of Jesus Christ. That's what the Old Testaments were prophesying about. That's what they were looking forward to. There was a lot of things about the church that the prophets of the Old Testament did not see. That's why oftentimes in the Bible, Paul makes statements like this: "Behold, I show you a mystery." And even in the 13th chapter of Matthew, when the Jews had basically rejected, the kingdom of Christ, they were looking for something more worldly. And they were more worldly minded, and they basically rejected the ministry of Christ. He denounced woes upon Capernaum in Matthew chapter 12. He gave a parable about how, you know, the unclean spirit, when he's driven out of the house, then he returns and it's seven times worse. And we often talk about that as demon possession. But Jesus said he was talking about this generation. He was talking about the nation of Israel. It's going to get a whole lot worse in this nation now because you have rejected. Right now, I'm here And these influences are being pushed back. But when I move out of the way and you've not been filled with Christ and the kingdom, it's going to get a whole lot worse for this nation here. And in the 13th chapter of Matthew, he begins to say statements like this: the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. And he gives these mysterious parables here, and all of it is references to what the kingdom is right now. The kingdom is in a mystery sense, all right? The kingdom of God, the New Testament teaches us, is within you. We're living right now in the 13th chapter of Matthew when we're dealing with all these problems of the soil and an enemy sowing tares among the wheat and all of these different things like this are going on. We're living in this time that the kingdom is a mysterious thing. We Gentiles are being grafted in to this olive tree, and the natural branches have been cut off. But Paul made this statement. He said, if the cutting off of Israel